Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy from the podcast Two in the Think Tank with Andy and Alistair. And I'm just here quickly before the show starts proper to plug a couple of things. And you know what I want to plug? Nothing to do with us. I want to plug some friends of the show. I want you to go and see the show of Matt Stewart. Nostalgia Was Better When I Was a Boy. Not only the best name of the festival, but probably the best poster. But also,
the
best show. Matt is so funny. If you've listened to Do Go On or anything on
you'd recognize
Australian
his
dulcet
tones.
Dulcet. Yes. Go and see Jack Druce.
Rat Paradise.
I heard some little bits of the show when it was being put together. I was like, this is going to be very good. I haven't got along to it myself, but God, I can't wait.
Want to go see Alice Fraser.
Go and see Alice Fraser.
In Kronos?
Kronos. You know what? She's maybe the best comedy writer.
Absolutely.
And a wonderful performer to boot. Can play the banjo. I'm jealous.
You could even see one of her specials, I think The Resistance, on Amazon Prime.
She's made it. She doesn't even need this plug. She's
she doesn't
so
need you, but that's why you need her.
Yes.
And you can also go see Teleport.
Teleport with friends of the show, Martin and Jerry, is on right now and has been going all right by all accounts.
We've done two shows and it's been going good.
I feel like you gave up before I even did in that one.
There was a pause. I was about to get back in.
I was going to give in.
I had to make the loop. I had to make the whole loop continue and make it work within the beat. See, I had to have a little pause.
I get it. Yes. Pausing. It's very important.
It's an important part. It's that thing. It's the notes you don't play.
It's the silences between the words that make words have meaning. If you didn't have them,
Imagine this. Butterfly knife.
What does that mean?
It changes the meaning. It changes the meaning to not have a gap, because now you think it's probably a knife that has a butterfly on it.
The gap could be anywhere in that.
Or it's a knife for a butterfly.
Butterfly knife.
But then you put a gap. Butterfly knife.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, now you know. It's an order to a butterfly. Fetch the knife. Fetch my knife. The intruders are here.
I mean, a flock of trained butterflies. What could that be useful for? You know what that could be useful for? Yeah. I'm going to tell you the answer. All the butterflies are different colors. And this is a superhero who can't camouflage themselves, but what they can do is they can summon a flock of butterflies to come and cover their body in a precise arrangement to match the whatever it is that's behind them.
They're the pixel of the
environment.
Nature's pixel.
Let's develop a form of this is what would be probably in some fucking... Cameron, what's his name? James Cameron, that movie Avatar. I haven't seen the movie, but I bet those blue creatures on the planet have televisions made out of butterflies. Because you know the butterflies, they just close up their wings, and it's like they're not there, right? They disappear. You're looking down, straight down a butterfly. You can't see it. That's switching off a pixel.
It's just black. You just see the black body of
the
butterfly.
You just need three different butterflies next to each other to do the RGB, right? And then you can...
And then the higher resolution, the smaller the butterflies.
They already have their own antennas.
Oh, that's good.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get the information to the butterflies? I don't know, probably pheromones.
Yell. No, through that tree. Now make it look like a guy's being chased by a tiger.
This would be a great alternative to radio in a world without electricity. Radios, you just have people spaced regularly. You know, how far do you think you could yell? 100 meters, 200 meters?
Yeah.
Just have people spaced 200 meters apart. And they shout things along, and they're trained so they can listen while they're shouting.
Trained to
and
listen.
Just repeat what's being shouted at the exact same time.
No, I don't know if you could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a megaphone or something, and they have one megaphone for their ear, which goes backwards. Then they have another megaphone for their mouth, which points forwards, and they can shout the words along.
Like a translator who doesn't have to change the language.
Exactly. Yeah. Surely, if a translator can do it, changing a language, then somebody, if you didn't even have to change the language,
do you think you still need to do a course?
No. I think you learn on the job.
I don't even know if I could translate English to English all that accurately, as accurately as those tests requires.
Well, you know, there's always going to be signal loss with any form of communication. I think butterflies or yelling.
I think the butterfly camouflage person, I think the one aspect which is bad for them is that really seeing a big flock of butterflies flying is going to really attract the eye. Unless they can fly and always mimic the background from
the sky.
But how do they do it from the point, all points of view?
It's tricky, isn't it?
You can only camouflage from like one person.
Well, they exist in a two-dimensional universe. I didn't tell you that.
I feel like squid can see in a different way. Squid and octopus can see in a different way that allows them to camouflage better.
Yeah, right. How do they do that? How do they know what's behind them?
Yeah, but they can see.
But they can't see behind them. They've still got eyes in the front of their head, don't they?
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, it's sticking out.
It is bulbous.
It is quite bulbous. Feels like they could probably see to the side. They probably have very strong peripheral vision.
And butterflies do have those kinds of those eyes that are sort of those balls, right? Those rounded, multifaceted kind of, what are you, compound eye, they call it.
Is that like the one where you can just stare straight into the sun?
They can stare straight into the sun for as long as they want.
That's good.
They're laughing at us.
Yeah,
you know that? Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't even know they could laugh. Yeah. What would you do if you were in your house and at nighttime you heard? At nighttime, right? Not a voice that you recognize. You turn on the light next to your bed. It's just a moth in the house.
I mean,
in the room.
In terms of the things.
Your family's away for some reason.
In terms of the things that could be laughing in my house at night. The moth is absolutely the one that I'm the most equipped to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, I just catch it in a cup. I put it outside. That laughing moth is gone from my life. Like, I hear laughter in my empty house at night and I find out it's coming from a moth. I am the most relieved man who has ever lived.
I know, but firstly,
nothing could be less
threatening. You're just going to let a laughing moth go? Because there's a push and pull, isn't there? Of course, you want to be rid of this moth that is unsettling you. But at the same time, you don't want to hold back science 1,000 years by letting the one laughing moth go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
suddenly now it's
think
in your
what
house
we could learn
laughing
from that moth.
Yeah. Well, you don't know.
I mean, I'm interested to know laughing at.
It could be one of your relatives coming back.
Do moths laugh in the same at the same things as us? Do they have the same sense of humor?
It's dark and you're sleeping and they're laughing. I don't think they've got the same sense of humor.
Unless you might have been remembering something from
that's
earlier.
It's true. But unless you sleeping is funny to them, that would be dangerous. You know, not dangerous, but it would be unsettling if creatures just found it funny. Imagine, do you think ants and bugs and spiders and stuff like that know when we're sleeping? Because they must walk all over us while we sleep,
they
right?
They do, with impunity. Yeah. I think they do. They probably go in and out of the nose.
You think so?
Yeah.
Without, and you just go.
Yeah, they're just peering in there.
Yeah, they would.
And they go in the ear. I mean, there's definitely documented things of scorpions crawling into people's ears while they're sleeping in the grass.
Yeah.
You get stung inside the brain.
Yeah.
And you go mad.
But it'd be good if there was a positive. You know, like, is there any scorpions or insects that do a positive thing when they sting you, where it kind of gives your brain a bit of extra juice, you know, like gives it something like, it goes, that's that, like, it's like, you know, it's like a chemical that actually helps your brain. It's like, you know, let's say the scorpion had been eating a bunch of ginkgo biloba.
Sure.
And it actually makes your brain, it's like, and so that poison is
just a pure,
you know, it's like
rush.
500 milligrams. And then suddenly the next day you're like, I remember things very well.
Well, maybe we could train them to administer vaccines.
It seems crazy. So you could just, instead of, because it could be scary for kids to take it to a vaccine.
Get it
a needle. So you could sort of lower them into a pit of scorpions.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, have a spider's crawling all over their
bodies. As soon as there's one owl, you know it's been done.
It's been done. Yeah, it's, you know, it's sort of like a sheep drench, but instead of being full of, you know, liquid fly spray, it's a big pit of scorpions.
Like, I don't mind the
you just herd the kids through it.
Yeah, scorpion.
I mean,
I guess that's how you could do criminals. I don't know why. But I mean, it feels like inside a scorpion or a creature like that, in that part where they would maybe have their point, it could be a place where you could breed a vet, like a
maybe. Maybe we could genetically engineer scorpions to be as big as men, right? And then they could just train to be nurses. And then, but they'd have to be single use. This is the problem with scorpions.
Why do they have to be single use?
Because otherwise you'd be spreading, you've got to sterilize those stingers. You'd be spreading all sorts. Yeah. You can't reuse
scorpions.
Needles, sharing needles.
Well, I think then when that happens, the scorpion is free to then live the rest of its life. Mm. You know, it's done its civil duty. So it's like a military man or woman finishing, you know, their 40 years. They get a pension. Mm. You know, they get to go and live. They get put up, and there's sort of organizations.
Yeah, they're given 5 acres that they helping, can farm for themselves.
Helping them deal with their mental health and stuff like that. So same thing should happen for the scorpions. Mm. They get trained medically, raised, things like that. And, you know, tax-free income.
Mm.
And then
Put
out to pasture, and they can breed and make it more.
Seems like the perfect system as far as I'm concerned. God, I had the best little vision popped into my head while you were talking there.
Yeah.
And now I'm just fighting to get it back. But I'm so sad.
Was it a scorpion on a farm?
No, I don't think it was, no.
Hat wiping its brow.
No, I don't think it was any of that.
A little scorpion farmer's daughter.
No, but anyway.
Getting on top of a little scorpion horse. You know, like, it's like a horse, but it's got that kind of ribby body that looks like, you know, scorpions kind of look, I think they look like they were ribs for their pleasure.
Yeah. You know? they got a carapace, I think. They got that exoskeleton.
Yeah.
A segmented exoskeleton.
Any creatures that have the exo and then the endoskeleton?
You got both.
Yeah.
I wonder if a tortoise would meet that criterion.
Yeah.
I think it's got some internal structure as well as that shell going on.
Yeah.
It's an endo and an exo.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have both, because then it's like a bone sandwich, you know, which makes you, nobody wants to eat you now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time you're like, oh, I'll get through this shell, and then I'll eat the delicious meat inside, which is completely bone free.
What you really want is you want to be a tortoise who's kind of like a pass the parcel kind of thing, where you've got like shell, flesh, another shell, bit more flesh, and another shell. And then when they're tearing into you, whatever it is, absolutely, they get three layers in and they're like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah, fuck this. Oh, I'm not going to get all this great flesh.
Well,
sick of this thing that's filled with flesh.
Well, maybe then you just, maybe that's your strategy. You've got a few sacrificial layers on the outside.
Well, you think you want a shell, then on the inside of that shell, thorns.
Ah.
Right? Then another shell. And then inside there, coral.
Oh, no.
Yeah? Then another shell.
Inside the scorpions.
Flesh, but the flesh has got fish bones in it.
Mm.
Awful.
That'd be a good system, would be to provide a habitat for scorpions on your body.
Mm.
Right? So you secrete some kind of scorpion mucus that they love, and they're just crawling all over you at all times.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to bite you, they've got to get through the scorpion layer.
Mm, so that's good. Yeah. So you become some kind of scorpion king.
I guess
but
so.
Just through some scorpion fuel that you ooze out, like some, you know, your instead of sweat. And it seems like it's easy enough too.
Mm.
So, you know, all you got to do is stay in a hot room and sweat. And then, but you just thicken your sweat with sugar or something like that.
Sure. When you're wet like that, you just roll in some... You get all nice and sweaty, and then you roll in some icing sugar. Okay, you're dusting one of those little brandy snaps.
You know what I think you could do? Because I remember one time my feet would get hot. My feet still get hot, right?
That's one of the strangest things about your body.
Yeah,
is how your feet run hot.
Yeah, my feet run really hot. Right, and
I diagnosed you with diabetes for a while. Well, but it turned out you didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really disappointed. Well, I thought, I'm really onto something with this diabetes.
And when I asked my dad, if my dad, you know, was a former nurse, and when I asked him if I had diabetes, he said, "Does your pee taste sweet?" And I said, "Well, I haven't tasted it, and then even if I did, I don't think I'd have anything to compare it to."
You got to drink a lot of pee.
Yeah, and so, but that suggests if these things like if scorpions like sweet things, you could get yourself diabetes, you know, by eating just bag after bag of candy and lollies and stuff like that, and then just drink water and just pee on yourself like that. Just kind of spray up, maybe lay down and just point up. And then just pee all over yourself,
yeah,
like that. And then the scorpions come, and then they while they gnaw at your
at your pee.
That and that's when you stand up, and that's all you got to do.
And then you stride confidently into whatever, you know.
You know, they'll drop off as you run out of pee on your body. But if you're ever in trouble, there's always scorpions around, right? And so you just lay down and pee on yourself.
I think you came to stay at my house in Tasmania, and there was a scorpion in your shorts.
Not in my shorts, no. In the room where we were there with our fresh baby.
It's a shame he could have been stung. He could have had all sorts of powers by now.
I know, yeah.
But you got rid of that scorpion, didn't you?
Yeah.
This is what I thought of before, Alistair. I don't know if this is a sketch idea, but it's certainly potent imagery, which you know that we deal in this show, and it is. The Museum of Pain, right? Mm. And what it is it's like, you know, at the moment, we have so many places where you can go and have a range of positive experiences.
Mm.
But this is a person who is the connoisseur of pain. Mm. And they've documented all the different types of pain.
Sure.
Okay? So like different, you know, scorpions and different types of abrasions and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And you can go there and you can like... You know, you can dial up. You can have a curated pain experience. You can sample exotic pains from different.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
And what is the umami of pain?
Nicest pain?
Exactly.
I think it's the one where you push your fingernail into your gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that's the nicest pain? Like you enjoy it?
Yeah.
It's interesting. We're both doing it right now. I imagine the listener is trying it at home.
It's actually kind of Moorish. Makes you go, oh, yeah, I want to experience that pain. Oh, yeah.
No, for me, it's got to be pulling on eyebrows.
Pulling on eyebrows. Yeah, I like having individual hairs pulled on.
And nostril maybe,
and then
hairs.
Pulled out. Not nostril hairs. No, that makes my eyes water.
Yeah, but I enjoy that.
Yeah?
And then I sneeze. Does it make you sneeze?
It's because you never cry. So nostril having nostril hairs pulled out is the only time you feel something close to emotion.
There's a difference, mate. There's a difference between never crying and then crying every time you hear two saxophones playing very close notes.
I think these ones might have been trombones or something like that. So recently I've been hearing – somehow I stumbled upon this Burt Bacharach album, right? And it's like his second album. Right, and it's an instrumental of him doing his own. It's called "Reach Out." It's from 1967. I think it's his second album. Anyway, it's just a band doing instrumental versions of his thing.
Mm.
And I say a little prayer. Wait, I cried. I've cried during this because I found. Oh, I think we're getting close. I find this so beautiful that every time I have to hold back tears. Wait, let's see if I can find it.
The first time we've played a music track on the show.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, wait. Here, I think this is it. No. No, that's the first. What's that? What do you think that is? Trumpet? Or is that a trombone? Hang on.
I got no idea.
It's in the next one.
It's mouth noise.
It's not mouth noise. It's definitely a horn. It could be a French horn. Look, I'm sorry this is taking way longer.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Now you guys let me know if anybody cries during this. Okay, here it comes. Pretty nice. We're going to do it one more time. I just want you guys to get a chance. Little lady sang the high part as well that time. All right, that's it. little lady. Oh,
do you think, you know how there's a brown note for making you shit yourself? Mm. Do you think there's a note for every bodily secretion?
It's the clear note. This one is for crying or for having your nose drip.
Mm. Do you think the Museum of Pain could be a sketch idea?
Oh, yeah, Museum of Pain is a good idea. But, I mean, it's a good
Welcome
genuine...
Welcome to the Museum of Pain. We have all the pines.
The pain that you get from hearing a guy do a very... an accent that you don't know what it's from and you're unsure if it's okay.
That's how you know it's okay. That's how you know it's okay. I think what we should be doing is coming up with new accents. You know, that it is okay to do.
Really funny accents.
Really hilarious accents, but they're new.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
And everybody can do their public domain. This is fantastic.
Public domain.
We come up
accents.
With entirely new accents and indeed entirely new minorities.
Yeah. But they have to be attached to the accent that you create.
Sure. I mean, well, not every minority has an accent, though.
No, because once you attach it to an accent, to a minority, Andy, then you can't do it anymore.
No, but we're coming up with new ones. These are ones that where there aren't anybody of that person. They're not real. That Twitter bot that comes up with pictures of people that don't exist, right? You can look at that picture. You can treat that picture however you want because that person's not real.
You can swear at that picture.
Yeah.
You can say, I hate this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tweet and go, this guy is the worst son of a gun.
You can stick that to the wall and you can throw darts at it all day. Nobody's getting hurt.
That's true.
But, and it's the same thing with this bot of mine, which comes up with new minorities.
Oh, my God. I think when you say it, that it's because you just want to hurt minorities.
No, but I don't. I don't want to hurt minorities. I don't. But if there was one that nobody was a member of and nothing more minor than zero.
Yeah, that's true. Could there be negative one?
Maybe.
I guess there's just where there's one, but they're dead.
Is a dead person negative one person? I guess it is because it cancels out the living person. And you end up with zero total people.
But I guess if there's zero, it's only if there's zero and then you create a fake one and then they die.
Right.
No, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. But look, I think I like it as a public domain funny accent.
Okay. You're right. So, I went too far into it, Alistair. It got very uncomfortable.
I don't know. No, it's not uncomfortable. It's fun comfortable.
That's the name of our company. Fun comfortable.
Yeah.
And you can have fun and you can be comfortable. Everybody's comfortable because nobody's being victimized.
I love that.
By our novel accents.
Our public domain.
Public domain funny accents. We can even come up with a national dress for each of these.
But
and then you have something to go into costume parties.
Yeah.
And again, it's not cultural appropriation because it's public domain.
No, I know, yeah. But it's... You know, you actually have to know so much about cultures
you do.
Accents.
We're picking the gaps, you know. Probably not a lot of room, really.
Yeah. But you got to find sounds that kind of cultures don't use, you know, or combine them in ways, you know. But in any way, but you almost can't even show their the origins. Like for example, you know, like there's like, like that. Well, is there any cultures that use that?
I don't know. Alistair, I mean, you're speculating and you're asking the question, but if there is, you've just done something really offensive.
Yeah,
this is the problem. And I guess what the bot will have to do is tweet out every variation of everything.
Mm.
And then depending on which bot, which tweets get some sort of, you know, get ratioed, it'll be able to finesse its algorithm and work out which things aren't offensive
to anyone. We'll have a robot voice that can do all these funny accents.
Yeah.
And then the ones that come across as okay, but the ones that get good retweets because they just sound funny.
Mm.
And you can just, I mean, it's just a variation. You're increasing pitches, you're increasing shortness of syllables, you're you know, adding more on the plosives. What if it's like, you know,
positive plosives.
Anyone want to play a game of planners? Anyone play a game of planners? And this is a culture where they it's not a minority though. It's a very it's a majority culture.
Oh,
I'm actually
wow.
picturing them to be the oppressor,
oh,
so
wow.
that you can so that you
really
can make
good.
Fun of them. If you invent new oppressors with a funny line, you could say that they're from another planet and they are the dominant.
You know what?
Oppressor there.
When we do get aliens coming down and they do oppress us.
Yeah.
It's going to be a golden age for comedy.
It's going to be a golden age.
When we're all of humanity is united as a minority itself, right? We're going to be able to mock those eight-legged, you know.
Such a funny amount of legs, isn't it?
Such a funny amount of legs.
Even. Why would you pick an even number?
Yeah.
only when aliens arrive. So what do you think? How deep into them being here do you think before we'll be able
I think
to,
they're a ball that has legs all the way around, and they actually move around by sort of rolling on their legs.
Maybe instead of legs, they've just got like they've got like ray flaps, but they move them like rays in that kind of like, you know, in that kind of like swipey way, but to move along land.
Yeah, and that'll be really funny for us to do impersonations.
But how deep?
On
how deep? How
in
deep?
Comedy
into
clubs that are deep underground.
How that where they can't get to because we make the holes too small. They can't get their big round stiff bodies through. They're like marbles with flaps, right? And
I love that how the technology that we have.
Small holes that
allows us to continue to survive is small holes. We become a burrowing people.
Well, it's the only way you can survive, usually when a big disaster comes. Now, how long into them being here do you think?
Super intelligent alien species, but their bodies are so rigid that they can't get through gaps.
That's right, yeah. And so their whole,
even doorways, they can't get in there.
They didn't even think about it. They couldn't even get into the buildings, but they can sort of vaporize your house or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I wonder.
But let's think about this, Andy. So they arrive, right? At first, we got to be treating it with good faith, right? We got to be like, oh, well, this is actually quite exciting.
Yeah.
Right? And so then, what do you think? Talks break down?
Yeah, well, maybe because we made some sort of swipe at their body type.
Because I mean,
it's being so rigid.
Because I mean, if you think about it, if aliens did arrive, Twitter would light up, absolutely light up.
You reckon that'd be trending?
Do you think? I think that somebody would make a joke on Twitter or something like that. Maybe make a meme based off of them. You know, put them in some image.
They have no sense of humor about themselves. Yeah.
And then that's when things turn a little bit. And then we're like, well, if you're not going to have a sense of humor about yourself, you can just go. And that's when they go, well, no, you can go.
Yeah. And what it is.
And they start shooting us into, like, individually into space. They just have a gun that they can put us in. And it shoots individual people into orbit.
Wow. What about they shoot us with a gun? And it gives us enormous kinetic energy. It's a kinetic energy gun, right? And they shoot it at you, and suddenly you've got all this kinetic energy. And you just shoot off into space.
You just fly off.
Yeah. It stores kinetic energy.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It absorbs it from the wind.
Yeah. That's right.
It's just got a
wind-powered gun.
A wind-powered gun.
Isn't that beautiful? Your soldiers, they're out there. They're killing each other. But on the top of each rifle, there's a little turbine. And the power doesn't come from gunpowder and explosives and chemicals, harsh chemicals.
Harsh, yucky chemicals.
I think we've already done a thing about an environmentally responsible weaponry company where the bombs are full of seeds. When they explode, they plant native plants to the area.
I worry when they drop bombs, how much wildlife, you know, they must have such a bad time with that.
It's a really good question.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that tally.
Yeah, you know, they got stationary. I mean, it's a young technology, but they got like wind technology that has no moving parts.
What? No, they do not.
Yeah. And it's got to do with you know, like the particles kind of moving through over the thing, and something to do with a charge that kind of gets. So they can have non-moving part wind as well.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that will be the that'll be the dream.
I'm very excited by that.
Mm.
Is it somehow use like kind of like static electricity in some way, like, you know, rubbing? Sure. Like what it sounds to me like it could be a little bit like whatever makes lightning.
Mm, yeah, maybe if there was rubbing, if there was, you know, a rubbing based technology where you could, you know, imagine this. It's like a, you know, like it's just a pole.
Mm.
And people, when they walk down the street, they just run their hand along it.
Yeah.
Like that, and that generates
it's a railing. You're describing some kind of a railing.
Yeah, why are we not generating
a power? A banister.
Yeah, I mean, we
a balustrade.
A balustrade. Now, it's not great in a pandemic, but at the end, there's just a pool. There's a pool of disinfectant that you just run your hand through.
Run your hand through. Right. People are walking anyway,
right?
They're already exerting it. They're already walking around. While they're walking, why not just have them rub a pole? Right. They're generating static electricity. It's an amber pole. Everybody wears a single woolen glove.
Yeah.
Every balustrade is made of amber.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, and at the top step of every flight of stairs is made of copper. And now they generate electricity walking up the stairs. And then as they step off at the top, the static discharges into the copper and goes into the grid.
Exactly. And then that helps.
And then they get a micro payment into their PayPal account.
Exactly. It gets converted straight into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then which will appreciate 300% a year over the next, you know, 100 years probably. So on average.
Is this one of your crypto stats, is it?
No. I'm talking about the history of it so far.
Is that really what it's done?
Yeah.
300% per year.
Yeah.
Jesus fuck.
This is becoming a crypto pod real quick. look, we've got enough ideas. I just don't know, you know, how many of them are actually sketch ideas, Andy. It's mostly me just showing, you know, tear inducing harmonies. But look,
I love that when that's a new string to our bow now.
Yeah, it is, and it's great.
I mean, you really didn't give me anything for my idea that there could be a note for every
I like that. Secretion. No.
But I well, could be developed in some way.
Note,
you know, I think if there could be a way of using that medically.
Oh, you know, of course, you could milk the adrenal gland. You know, using some kind of. Sort of, you know,
trap
yellowy music. White note, you know,
yellowy white note. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what color adrenaline is, but think about it. You know, like what about spiders that you try to get the venom out of? What if you could just get that out by playing them, you know, sort of, you know, old boat songs there.
Sea shanties. And they're all just squirting.
And they just start.
They're just.
It's just out there drip like that, and they're just kind of just standing on like that grate that is at the base of a lot of urinals. That's what they stand on. They got thin feet. They can.
What is the go with that grate? You stand on that grate, don't you?
I think you stand on the grate. Yeah.
And then that's so that any additional drips just fall straight down.
Yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be, but it makes
feels
you think
very condescending, doesn't it?
But I mean,
you
it makes
I'm not
I guess
in control
I guess
of my
they're
drips?
Just I think they I mean you're not.
No, you're absolutely
not.
True.
Yeah, no, I think it's okay for a toilet to condescend to you. I think, especially when it's right to.
This toilet thinks it's above me.
Imagine if it was, though.
Yeah.
Toilet high up in the air.
An up toilet.
Toilet where gravity is reversed. I mean, people would want to do that, right?
I'm interested.
You know, it's a toilet where it's like you're upside down.
Dyson will come up with this. I'm sorry, I've got an idea, but you finish yours.
Well, no, it's just, I mean, all it is that you pee straight forward. Maybe it is into the wind.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. There's Dyson creates a wind wall, right? And it's just a very powerful sheet of wind that just comes from the ground straight up to the roof. And it's a new type of urinal that's actually much more efficient where you stand in front of it and you piss into it and then the pee goes up.
Yeah,
for some reason.
It'd be like one of those. Did you check if anyone booked this thing?
I booked it.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. It'd be like one of those things for skydiving in, you know? You know those wind tunnels that you skydive in? Like that, but you pee into that and it goes up like that. And then, I mean, you would have an instructor on your back while you're doing
it. Pee goes up?
You'd have an instructor on your back while you're doing it.
And what are they?
They're there to just help you pee.
I
if you were peeing while you were jumping out of a plane, would the pee just fall with you, or would it kind of get caught by the wind and then go up?
Are there any urinals? You know how you have those urinals?
Could you have somebody falling above you with a big toilet?
Yeah, okay.
Like that.
And I think it would have to fall at the same rate as you, wouldn't it? But it would be caught by the wind.
Yeah, it'd be caught by the wind. So you,
but you've
probably
got a parachute on.
Yeah, but you're free falling first. You're peeing while you're free falling.
During free fall. Yeah, but I think even then you'd probably still experience more drag than the wind, than the pee would.
Yeah.
I think it might still fall faster than you. Just. But maybe you'd get to fall alongside it and you can watch you can be with your pee falling as rain.
That's right. Finally. Because you never get to see your pee in that part of the of the water cycle.
Yeah, that's right.
It's left you by then. You never see your pee get to be in a cloud.
It's maturity. Yeah. Reach its...
Grow up. You know, they leave too early.
Live its own life.
Yeah. Well, that's a real shame. Anyway, we got 3 words from a listener.
There was something else there. Anyway, it's gone. Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know those fancy toilets where they have a toilet attendant? Right, who gives you, I don't know,
bathroom attendant. Yeah, I don't know if they have anyone's
toilet attendant.
But I assume those Japanese toilets where somebody where the toilet squirts you in the butthole. That would have started where it's just a person squirting you in the butthole, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You know, do you think it would just be a guy with one of those flower pot things to water a flower pot, but it kind of just goes into
I mean, I was just going to suggest a really fancy toilet where there's someone to like help you hold your penis or something like that while you're urinating.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And then maybe dry it with a little towel afterwards.
Well, why not a robot?
Why not?
You know, a robotic arm. Like, you know, I mean, you know, we'll be pretty deep into the future when people feel comfortable putting their penis in the fingers of a robotic arm. I don't know if we're there yet.
There's
too many glitches.
I think if it was a little one that is somehow built into your pants, I think everyone would feel okay with that.
Imagine one, like it's a urinal it's a unisex urinal, and it's just a robot urinal, and it's just got hands. It's got like
gentle
cupped hands that come, and no matter what genitals you've got, it knows how to capture them.
Yeah.
Capture the urine perfectly.
Its cupped hands.
And then dry you off.
Yeah.
Dry you off, and then it disposes of it in a cool way.
Yeah.
It just kind of like lets it drip through its fingers, and it makes a cool pattern, maybe writes a word that says like bye. Asahi beer.
Yeah.
You know that thing when the water falls and it puts letters in it?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the hands get instantly chilled to like, you know, sub-zero temperatures. The urine freezes and then they throw it hard against the wall and it shatters.
No, that's really cool, yeah. Yeah. They make a swan out of it.
I guess it's a different thing every time. And then finally we're making people have a reason to go to the toilet.
Exactly.
Now, people hold on. You never know what it's going to be.
You could actually save lives because maybe people are holding it in for too long.
Maybe now you could have a public toilet. This is like a premium public toilet where people will pay to use it.
Exactly.
And it's like the Netflix of going to the toilet because they've always got this great new content. You never know what they're going to do with your pee.
That's right. They could make you an Oscar statue that, you know, they put it in a little base and then they hand it to you and then you get a little photo with it.
Yeah.
There's a little Oscar statue and it says, best.
I'd pay $5 to see what they do.
Yeah, best director
of your urine.
Of your urine.
You directed the stream really well.
Yeah.
It's a streaming service.
It's a streaming service. Mm. Yeah. It's really nice. Premium toilets. Premium public toilets.
We achieved something there. I mean, I wonder, I think I would pay. You know, sometimes you go to public toilets and you're like, I don't even know if there's going to be paper in there. I don't know if there's going to be soap, right?
Yeah.
I think I would, if there were two toilets next to each other and one was a for-profit model where I pay $2, but it's guaranteed it's not going to be gross.
But also one where you could just be like there's enough cubicles where they're just like, see in half an hour. And it's just a place where you can just be, you know, it's like you don't, this is a toilet where you don't have the responsibilities of your lives from your life disappear for a while.
It's like a hotel.
It's like a hotel, yeah. It's like one of those hotels where you just go to have sex with a sex worker.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying by the half hour,
this
by the hour.
This is just all, it's all en suite.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
And there's sometimes, no room, sometimes, it's just en suite.
Some of them are so nice, your bathroom has another bathroom, has an en suite. You go, and then you get to choose. You know, and then you could try it. It's like, you know, it's got marble toilet. It's got a plastic toilet.
Have we ever talked about a lying down toilet?
No, we haven't.
Because this place would have that as an option.
Yeah. Maybe a dangling toilet. One that's like a toilet that's like in a hammock.
Yeah.
And it's just a net like that, like a regular hammock.
There you go.
You just lay forward on it like a massage chair. And you just pee through the holes. It would be like what it would be like to pee if you were a fish being caught by a boat. You know? All right. We got three words from a listener. And this one is from Julian Wales.
Julian Wales? Julian. Are you in any relation to Jimmy Wales, who invented Wikipedia?
Jimmy Wales. The guy who we all know who he is because of... because he's appeared at the top of our screen a few times begging for money.
Yeah.
He's probably the most powerful
servers in the world that's powered by begging.
But, you know, when he's begging for money for this supposedly free service. No, it's all good.
I love Wikipedia. It's
me
the
too.
Best.
Me too. But, you know, and if only 3% of you guys donated 10 cents or whatever, then...
I donated to them once.
Yeah?
Yeah,
that's
I did.
That's nice.
It's weird. I don't know why I did it.
Nah. You've been doing it. That's the right thing to do. You love the service, you said.
I do.
Pay your wife money?
No.
You don't give your wife money?
Right, you think
have you ever transferred money to your wife?
We have a shared bank account.
Yeah, that's giving her money.
Oh, okay. I don't know what this is about. I don't know what's happening.
You're like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm giving my wife money. Maybe you don't value her if you don't give her money.
Alistair.
So Jimmy Wales.
This is terrible.
Jimmy Wales.
Julian Wales.
Julian Wales. Julian Wales. Thank you, Julian. It could be Wales.
Jimmy Wales.
Got three words. You want to try and guess what the three words are?
Yeah.
And try, please. Okay. This time.
Okay. Clinch.
No. No. Rapunzel.
I feel like I was close.
That wasn't in any way close. You were closer to Clint. And Rapunzel and Clint Eastwood hasn't done
Rapunzel, pubic. It's a pubic Rapunzel, isn't it? It's a Rapunzel where her pubes are really long and she lets them out of the window.
No.
Somebody crawls up her extremely long pubes, but it's a pubic lice. Oh, earlier the thing I was thinking about is that like if any insect was going to give you a mental boost, it would make sense if it was if it was regular head lice.
Yeah.
You know, they're already on your head. They're living in there. It's in their interests for your head to be strong and healthy,
well,
you know, to meet many other people, to make you very social so that they can spread.
Yeah, that's true. And kids tend to get it while they're at school, which is a place where you go to think. You know, we don't know if kids, they don't actually give us a chance to find out whether or not kids who have head lice do better in school.
You know that expression, put our heads together. You know, surely head lice, it's in their interest to make children more collaborative.
Yeah. You
know, to want to get into small groups and focus on problems.
You know, the way I've pictured that you would do that is that you just use a regular belt. And then you just get as many people to put their head through the belt loop.
Yeah.
The belt, you know, and then you just tighten it.
And you put your heads together.
Yeah.
And they solve problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
All right, Jimmy Wales' second word
Rapunzel.
Well, no, you already guessed the second word, didn't you?
Yeah, I tried pubic.
No, it wasn't pubic that you said, I don't think.
I think it was.
Well, it's fish.
Rapunzel, fish.
Rapunzel, fish.
Mm.
I'm trying to guess what the... Last one.
Legume?
No, Andy. Dystopia.
Rapunzel fish dystopia.
Yeah.
I mean, these are good.
Yeah.
Now,
think of the first fish that you think of that has hair.
The idea of fish. Something happens and fish get hair.
Well, the catfish has whiskers, which is kind of like hair. But I mean, I mean, it would be nice to think of a fish that has like a horse's mane, like a beautiful fish. I think that's the problem. That's why fish don't have hair, because then they would be too beautiful.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Too beautiful.
To humans.
And we'd all just be walking into the ocean.
Yeah.
When God was designing all the animals, he said, tell you what, shave the fish, because this is, we're not going to be able to keep man on the land at this rate.
I think a sort of a capitalist would have gone and has already gone and killed all the fish that are too beautiful so that man could get work done.
Yeah.
And work for him.
It's a conspiracy of some kind. They don't want you to leave entitlements. They don't want you to have toilet breaks, and they don't want you to have sexy fish. This is late stage capitalism. Everybody would just be walking off the job straight into the ocean to marry a cod. Or
I think there was something that they discovered, that these capitalists discovered, that not only were fish with hair so beautiful to man, man being, you know, the race, the species, but also there was something about the relationships that men and women had with fish with hair, where the relationship just never went stale. There was like, you know, the relationship never matured. It always stayed in the holiday period, you know. And capitalists, they said, "I'm sorry, but this is just too much of a good thing. We can't allow this. Nobody wants to work in my factory."
Because their relationships with their fish wives and husbands are so strong.
Too strong, too good.
Do you think that when people now, when they look longingly, yearningly out to sea, you know, it's probably some kind of genetic memory of us searching for our soulmate out there? You know, fisherman's friend.
I think that there was probably a scenario in which a man was once one with fish, you know, and that we're constantly searching for that other half. You know, there's probably a
place. No wonder we're overfishing the ocean.
Because we're looking for the one.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a place on the human body where a fish slides in perfectly. It might just be. You know, I think.
There's a hole. There's a gap.
I don't
that
know.
That we
no,
all feel.
I think that it could just be along the butt cheeks. Like if you lay
in
down.
In between?
Yeah, in between. So kind of like something that would hold up a taco.
I feel.
Right? If you just slid most fish, they would kind of just be held up like that. And if you were laying on a skateboard, you could sort of use that.
Paddle along
the ground.
Style.
Like that. And the fish would be allowed to experience what life on the land would be like.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a way that you would find a soulmate, but it feels like it could be some kind of exotic massage, form of massage from a different country.
For the fish or for you?
For you. This could be a service that they offer. They've got some kind of thing. They have this specific type of fish in some country, and it fits perfectly between the butt cheeks. And you go there, you pay a certain amount, and they'll lay this fish down there. And I don't know, maybe it achieves some kind of therapeutic benefit.
I think it might be for the fish to stay in there. I think the fish would itself have to be calming. So maybe it's like a therapy for fish.
Yeah. Okay.
That they like it.
It would be a kind of hug that they could experience.
They don't get to experience hugs, really.
And I think for them,
warm ass meat.
Well, exactly. Because for a fish, being clasped is synonymous with being eaten, I think. But, you know, the cheeks of the butt can't eat you. They're so non-threatening. They have no teeth.
Well, that's right. They arrive
in the
unteethed jaws of the butt. The toothless jaws of the butt.
The toothless vertical grin.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of, it's a sort of they're kind of thick lips, aren't they? They're sort of vertical lips. The buttocks.
They are the lips.
Lips
of the butt.
Mm. It's strange. It would be good to be able to use them a bit more like lips so that you could add enunciation to any sounds that are emitted.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Eh?
I don't have the first clue. A Rapunzel fish dystopia could also be some sort of reverse Rapunzel situation where rather than being a long-haired woman trying to get down from a tower, it's a long-haired fish trying to get up from the ocean. You know, it's
by bringing a hair up.
It throws its hair up onto the land
in the hope that somebody is. That's kind of like reverse fishing as well.
Because then it's like somebody grabs it and then they pull you in.
No, well, yeah, I was thinking that maybe they want to be pulled out, but then why would they want to be out? Maybe they are there to kind of pull you in.
Pull you in and then they eat you? They have such beautiful hair. People go down to the beach to run their fingers through it, and then they yank you into the ocean. They eat you.
They mimic that beautiful shine of a Pantene Pro-V ad. And people see it and they think, oh, somebody's beautiful hair here that's sticking out of the water. People would think that's a dead body probably. And then they would go and check on it, and this fish just eat mostly rescuers.
Good Samaritans,
and that's how society becomes evil.
Yeah,
because all our good Samaritans
have been eaten by sexy fish.
At least a fish with sexy hair
that you want to rescue. Oh, that hair's so sexy! I want to rescue whomsoever it is attached to. Interesting.
Do you think that's
I think overfishing the land, fish overfishing the land is a very interesting place for us to go. We're left with only the bad Samaritans on land. And that is a true dystopia, isn't it? Have we got there?
We got there,
Andrew.
Jimmy Wales, Julian Wallace. Andrew, I will take you through the sketch ideas. Also, this is an in-room. If you guys hadn't noticed, this is an in-room episode. We're all both in the same podcast because we just did an episode. We just did our second show of Teleport.
And it went good. It's going good. I'd love it for people to come down and see it. We've been getting great crowds, and it feels weird.
We almost remember the whole show now. We basically do. We only have to help each other a little bit. The first show was a little bit bumpy. Second show... barely bumpy. It was like a dirt road.
what's the first kind of road?
What were those things that when you go skiing with the moguls?
Right, yeah.
No, it wasn't even that
dirt
bumpy.
Dirt moguls.
Anyway, dirt mogul. It's a guy.
Yeah, he's got all the dirt.
he's got so much. So he provides this city with dirt.
I mean, there are people who do that. It's not even enough of a thing.
No?
Yeah. I know. Garden supplies.
I know, but to be called the dirt mogul.
Yeah, right.
All right, you want to do it?
Bert's dirt.
Bert's dirt moguls.
Take me through it, Alistair. I'm not looking forward to hearing what these are.
Bert's dirt moguls is a guy who's, because it's such a common thing, he just sells dirt moguls.
Wow.
Yeah. These people are moguls, but you can own one.
He's a mogul. Is that right?
Yeah, but a dirt mogul.
You can have your own little mogul. I'd love to have a little mogul. Just a little mogul who lives in my house and thinks he's really important.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You know, he's...
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Yeah. And he thinks he can boss me around, but he can't.
That's really nice, yeah. But he's small. He's like as big as a can.
Yeah.
He's dressed up real nice and he's looking at his big gold watch that he's got.
He's got like one... dollar coin, and because it's so huge to him, he thinks it's really valuable.
Yeah. Hey, come back here. You'll never work in this town again.
I'd love to have someone I can just ignore like that.
Somebody who's powerful,
who
oozes power, but
tiny
is
man,
powerless.
Tiny, the man.
Tiny house mogul.
A mogul does sound like something that, it's a bit like a mole and it's a bit like a gerbil. And, you know, the mogul is sort of, could be a little thing that pops out of holes.
That's one of the ways that you can actively ignore something for fun.
Exactly. It's a little pet.
Oh, that's really nice.
He doesn't have a soul, so it's okay.
No, okay.
So you're not actually,
that's,
you know,
I mean, that is nice to
by
think treating about.
Him, by ignoring him, you're not actually hurting him in any way.
Yeah, but then I don't think regular people have souls. So anyway. So we got butterfly camouflage person. A hero.
Maybe that could be a new gadget in the next James Bond. Q's like, and here we have butterflies. They flock all over you.
Q's just been living on a commune for a bit. And he's like, all his ideas have gotten a bit more wishy-washy.
More lovey-dovey.
I was thinking, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing all this stuff, all these gadgets, you know, all these rare metals. You know, how much Marnie knows is wrecking the environment, man. I'll just train a bunch of butterflies to just make them look. They look like a nice. They look like.
Wallpaper.
I can make them look like you. So it looks. You'll be standing there, but actually you're standing over there. And then bang! You just use this bloody. You throw this lump of manure at them. Oh, compress this manure so thick, man. You light it up, it'll go up in flames, bro.
Really great character.
Yeah. It's environmental Q.
Mm.
I'll write it down. It's, you know. We need sketch ideas. We need, you heard the first one. Then we got scorpion inoculation for kids who hate needles. Then we got exo and endoskeleton.
We do have an alternative to needles now. After working for a really long time, we finally developed an alternative vaccine delivery method solves the problem of, you know, jab fear, jab phobia.
So I want you to put on this harness.
We'll strap you to the ground.
And I'm going to just put these walls up here around you, these Perspex walls, and bring in the buckets.
Why are they Perspex? Well, it's being televised.
It's also parents like to be able to look into the eyes of their children while they have buckets of scorpions poured on them.
You know, it's wrong to take – it's wrong to hurt your child, but it's not wrong to take pleasure while they are hurt.
But they're not being hurt. They just think they are.
Ah, yes.
And will think for the rest of their life and carry around that fear in some kind of stress post-trauma.
Mm. SPT.
And then there's the person who has discovered that they can protect themselves by covering themselves in scorpions by just peeing on themselves. And it's a person with diabetes.
And for some reason in this world, scorpions love sugar.
Love sugar pee.
This is the
sugary pee.
This is the worst thing we've ever written.
No, it's not. There's much worse. There's one down here, environmental cue. Then we got the Museum of Pain.
Yes.
And it's going to be where you sample all the different types of pain.
Mm.
Heartbreak.
Throughout the ages. I didn't even think about emotional pains. I was only thinking about physical pains.
Imagine it's a room you walk in and you meet your one true love. Meeting your one true love. You might even be married as you walk in there.
Wow.
Simulates meeting your one true love. You like to the point where you're like, this person in minutes, this person is so perfect for me. You decide to leave your family.
And they're just waiting outside.
and they're watching on the screen outside. And then you get let down by the person.
And then you have to go back out to your family. And that's another type of pain.
And then you go, your turn.
And then the rest of your lives together
is
spent in the knowledge that none of
Wow, that you will you so easily
so, well,
would have done. Would have.
I mean, this person was your one true soulmate. It sounds like it was quite intense, but I think just the thing of like I'm actually grieving someone else this entire rest of our lives.
Yeah, this person that was just made by an artist perfect. Through some 3D model.
No, it was just a picture. It was a caricature artist.
But imagine,
it's just a picture of somebody driving a Volkswagen Beetle playing tennis. You just tell them all the things that you love, and then they draw a caricature of a person who does all that stuff, and you fall in love with it
because
it's your perfect
soulmate. I'm going to leave my wife. Just on to the camera. Oh.
Yeah, and they tell you, we're going to take away this picture unless you say the words, I'm going to leave my wife. And you do it because you're so pathetic. And then they take it away anyway. And then you have to go back out of the booth.
With no picture and maybe no wife. That's the Museum of Pain for you. That's a good museum. It's so good.
And it's free. It's a free museum. It's like Mona. How do they do it?
Yeah.
Well I got all his money from gambling.
Yeah, that's cool. That's how you do it. Then we got public domain unfunny accent. No, not funny, unfunny accents. Funny accents. There's also a public domain unfunny accents.
Oh, yeah.
Those are all the ones that we made along the way that aren't funny, but they can use them for drama. They can use them for drama films.
Yeah, we don't all know the funniest accents. What are the most tragic accents? What are the saddest accents?
I'm not going to have a good time today. And then we got golden age for comedy when aliens arrive.
And we can mock them.
Then we got note for every bodily secretion, you know, like the brown note.
You can just play the body.
You can play it to the body and then the body secretes that thing.
You make an entire symphony just using the various different squirt notes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might even discover by testing this on the body, new fluids that the body can produce that we didn't even know.
It's very exciting.
You opened your mouth in such a fun way. You went. That's a new sound that lets you know, like laughing is good for when, you know, for when you say something funny and then it makes you feel good. Mm. But an idea, you know, a sound that people make for when you come up with a good idea.
A lip smacking idea. Yeah.
But you could picture a big crowd of people doing it. One, two, three.
I got to get my mouth open to get more of this sound, of this idea into my head. Just letting it in through the ears wasn't enough.
No,
this idea is so
every
good.
Every orifice in my body. Let me goatsy myself.
Just shout this into my butthole so I can feel the idea all reverberating up through my intestines. This is how good the idea is. Shove a pipe down my dick.
No,
and yell into a funnel balls can hear. I want to hear this idea everywhere. Take me with your idea.
Take one of those funnels, old school funnels that are like an old lady would put into her ear and put
an ear trumpet.
And put it into my nostrils. Put a trumpet in every hole in my body. Oh, slide it around my eyeballs and trumpet into my.
Oh, a slide, just a little tube, a little micro tube back around the back of my eyes. Just yell it into my optic nerve.
Yes, through an audio fiber instead of an optic fiber, one that transfers just audio.
Imagine that.
It's got just fluid in it to transport the audio even faster. Does sound travel faster through water than it does through
air? I think it might.
Because the particles are closer together.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, then we got premium public toilets.
Mm.
Oh, that's good. Somewhere where you could just shit for 45 minutes.
It's untimed.
Untimed.
Not like the current day.
No. I know, but you
there's
feel...
There's pressure. Yeah, there's social pressure.
Because we live in a society.
There's no pressure. With this one, right, we have like a sort of a safety deposit box kind of system where you go into the booth and then your booth is actually taken away.
Yes, it's like one of those car parks.
Yeah.
It lifts it.
Take it into deep storage way up the back of a warehouse. There's no one outside the door.
It's actually more troublesome if you poop quick.
Yeah, because they got to get you back out.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. And they got to get a guy with a key.
I don't know. Then we got fish with hair were too beautiful and relationships too perfect. Capitalists had to kill all those fish to get people to work in their factories. Then we got Good Samaritan eating fish, which overfishes the land and takes all the good people.
Mm. They look like they need to be rescued. And anyone who tries to rescue anybody with a rescuing instinct gets dragged deep, deep beneath the waves.
Mm. And they get rid of all the good people, and only evil people are left, people who don't care about others. And then we got tiny house mogul that you can actively ignore and feel good about because they boss you around. They say, ah.
You can put a little cup over him.
Yeah, you can put a cup on him. And
you're not the boss of me, you can say to him.
And he goes, yes, I am. Lifts the cup. You go, yeah, get back here.
You can storm into. He's got a little office.
And then you come out sometimes.
A little kennel office, and you can storm into there. You can quit any day, any time you want. You can tell him you quit.
And, you know, sometimes you come into the kitchen and he's just sleeping on the counter.
Mm.
And he wakes up and he goes, hey!
Get back to work.
Get back to
work. You slack it off on my dime.
And he's just got one. He's got 5 cents with him or whatever. 10 cents, whatever a dime is. And then we got environmental cue. He's like, oh, man, bloody hell. I didn't see you come in.
Because you're not even covered in butterflies.
Yeah, Q had got a piece of tech that had made him a bit younger, and he started, you know, getting into weed because he hadn't gotten into it the first time he got through life. Mm. So, you know, just kind of changed his point of view, man.
Instead of a gun to kill the other guys, a spliff that you can spark up with the other guys, and then everybody's cool, man.
Oh,
you just
cool,
talk
man.
Through your differences.
Man, all the... Yeah.
I know how spliffs work.
You can just offer the henchmen more money. Their job's not going to pay that well. All that tech would cost so much money to build.
Just pay off.
Just pay all the henchmen.
Hench.
If you offered a henchman $20,000, right? Even if it was $50,000, that's probably a year's worth of salary, right? Have a year off? Here you go, have a year off. Just let me in.
Go home, spend some time with your family.
Yeah, actually, that'd be quite nice, actually.
That's the henchman now.
Actually, that'd be quite nice, actually.
Are you related to a guy called Q? It's weird, because I meet him at work all the time. He sounds just like you.
Yeah, actually, yeah. You know Q, man? Fucking hell, yeah, man. Small world, yeah, the sort of... fighting or defending bad guys. Yeah, Q, he's recently young. Yeah, because of that machine or whatever. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was the dark horse of that family.
Instead of going into an enemy base with money or with a gun, you go in with a technology that Q's invented that can make anybody look younger. And you just go up to the bad guys and you say, look, we could fight. Could make you look 15 years younger.
30 years younger.
30 years younger. You're going to be a boy again. You can start over.
Mm. And they go, fucking hell, yeah, actually. Yeah.
You zap them and they run out as a little kid.
Yeah. And they just feel so playful. They're just kind of playing with those big doors with the big metal things. And they go, oh, I forgot my fingerprints a bit different now because I'm so small, can't get out. Oh, can you help me? I can't reach the fingerprint scanner.
You can be a piggyback.
Can you get me out of here?
All right, we got to stop Alistair.
All right, sorry.
Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. God, we appreciate the ever-living out of that. And,
the ever-living heck.
We appreciate everything that you do and say and think.
Thank you so much for listening. You know, why not check us out on Twitter? I'm at AlistairTB. We're at Two in Tank.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
We're also on Instagram. I'm at A. Trombley Birchall, which is the worst thing. But it was free, so I took it. We're at Two in Tank as a Instagram for our thing. You can see what our set for Teleport looks like on there.
My email address is andyjamesmatthews@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's right. Send him a letter. Send him a letter. send him a beautifully handwritten letter that you've taken
to
a
my
photo
email.
And put it in an email.
Just send me a photo of the envelope.
Yeah, but also the contents.
Sure.
Yeah,
and
you can support us on Patreon if you like, but you can leave a review. Not that that's important.
You can still listen to the pop test,
and you can listen to the pop test. Imagine that.
The last episode just gone out. It's really funny. Got great Greg Larson. Go see Greg Larson at the Comedy Festival if you can still get a ticket.
Yeah,
I got a
good
ticket.
Good luck. You got a ticket?
Yeah.
Oh, good on you.
And
we love
you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.